Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Life Investigated podcast on this Sunday, April the 21st, 2024. So the title of today's podcast is America Compared to Ancient Rome. As we continually every day are bombarded with, in my opinion, treasonous acts by our politicians and by the executives in this nation, and certainly by the politicians and the executives that run other nations and nations such or organizations such as the World Health Organization, the UN, and so on, we can see that we the American citizens, and are even citizens of other nations potentially, but we're going to look at America. We can see that we are being sold out every single day. And I'm comparing this to ancient Rome. So when we look at the history of ancient Rome, how Rome being the mighty empire that it was at one point in time, conquering, you know, 2/3 of the world, basically, to one day to just crumble into non-existence. What exactly caused that and what exactly happened there? So let's take a look back and let's even look back to even the founding of the city of Rome itself. So when Romulus founded Rome, what did he do to populate the city? Well, he invited criminals, prisoners of war, exiles, and slaves into the city of Rome to populate it. And since Rome, even though it was under the eventually, anyway, the nation of Rome was, or the Roman Empire, I should say, was under the rule of a Caesar. It essentially, the governmental structure essentially mirrors what the American governmental structure is in some respects. They had a Senate, they had a House, et cetera, et cetera. They had debates, they had elections, and so forth. At least as far as what the controlling Caesar allowed for them to have. And what happened? So we see in the initial setup of the city of Rome itself, when Romulus, as an exile himself, came in and set the city up, who was he inviting in? Any and everybody that he could get in to come under his control, under his thumb, and to eventually be part of the not the best way to describe this, but to be part of the general citizen population, the people that had influence and say so, i.e. comparing to America, the United States citizen legal voter. Let me emphasize that. So what did he have under his control? So when you were exiled, now exile can be a voluntary thing, but in its worst sense, it was exile was done instead of the death penalty. So if you were in leadership of a country or a city and the population rose up against you and there was a coup, et cetera, et cetera, you would have probably gotten the death penalty. You would have, you know, been hung, et cetera, whatever their method of execution was at that point in history. It's what would happen. Sometimes you were voluntarily exiled yourself into another nation, or you may have been given a sentence of exile, which was actually better than, either life imprisonment and, or certainly death. So a lot of the people that were coming in and being invited into Rome to set up the establishment were criminals already in one way or the other. Whether they were exiled, whether it was a crime, they'd been convicted of a crime or an overthrow and exiled, or whether they had just been criminals in another nation and the other nation said, well, hey, you can go to the city of Rome now. So just as long as you go, and we never see you again in our city or our nation, you are welcome to go to Rome. And that's how the city of Rome was essentially established. Well, do we see a comparison here, my friends, to what we see going on under the corrupt criminal administration that we have currently operating in this country? Well, certainly we do. When we see millions and millions of illegal immigrants coming across the border with no attempt to regulate or stop it. You know, it's amazing to me, with all the regulatory law on the books in the United States of America and within the states itself, an American citizen cannot hardly spit on the sidewalk without being regulated. Matter of fact, I don't know if it's still in Virginia code or not, but there was at one point in time a Virginia code that made it a criminal offense to spastigate in public. In other words, to spit on the public sidewalk. It may still be there. I don't know. I need to check that. So we as citizens, we are regulated to the hilt. They are trying to take our Second Amendment rights. Well, they're trying to take all of our constitutional rights, but they're trying to take our Second Amendment's rights that regulates and regulate us to death on owning a firearm and make it practically either impossible to meet the qualifications to own a firearm, or either make it so dad blame expensive that John Q. citizen out here working, trying to survive every day in Biden's economy that's costing everything that we can make to just buy food and survive, certainly it will come to a point in time, if this is allowed to keep pursuing the avenue that it is, there'll come a point in time that even people that are sold completely to the idea of the right to a Second Amendment, free militia, and the right to keep and bear arms, that we're not going to be able to afford to own one. We're not going, because of permitting costs, because of ammunition. They're going to raise, they keep raising taxes on ammunition and on firearm sales, et cetera, et cetera. So if they can't force something upon us, they will make it financially infeasible or not practical for the average American citizen to pursue his or her rights in this nation, whether it is the right to own a firearm and the right to self-defense, or maybe it's the right to free speech. We see our free speech from the conservative side certainly obstructed greatly already, to the point we see our free speech obstructed that it is illegal activity. We are John Q. citizen, if you have a viewpoint other than the corrupt media or the corrupt D.C. Federal government, if you have an opinion that is separate from theirs, your free speech has already been affected and has been criminalized. Your freedom of religion has been affected. Your freedom of religion was affected greatly during COVID. Of course, I fought the organized church in America. The pastors wanted to hem-haw around and say, well, we are essential. We really should be open. But yet they stayed closed, most of them. So what the church, corporate church in America, proved to me during COVID was that it wasn't really all that necessary to the American culture. Now, many of you religious folks, and I'm a Christian myself and a former pastor, but many of you will get your tail feathers in a spin over that. But really, you proved to me that the organized church model in America was not really needed because you stayed closed. So your religious freedom was greatly affected. And it's been on that road for many years. You know, when school systems say you can't say the Pledge of Allegiance, okay, that's not religion, but it's liberty. It's something that means something dearly to an American citizen that believes in what the precepts and principles of this country was. It was taken away. Then prayer was taken away. You could no longer have corporate prayer. And then after numerous lawsuits and bickering and getting at times, believe it or not, a right politician in the right place at the right time, which doesn't happen very often, we got some legislation changed. And now at least students' rights to pray in school or before school or after school to some extent were re-recognized, but now they still get persecuted all the time and they get limited all the time on their Christian activities in school, but yet let a special interest organization or a Satanist organization say, we have a religious right to do X, Y, Z on school grounds and during school. And it seems to never be opposed, even in the most conservative areas. It never really seems to be opposed. So here we are, America. What are the parallels? Well, we can see. So Rome had a Senate. And guess how most of those Senate seats were decided? Yes, that's right, America. They were purchased. And that's exactly how your Senate and your congressional seats pretty much are now still held. They are purchased. If you have the right connections and the right amount of finances, and you know how to work the system in your favor, whether it's illegal voting or illegal advertising, or, you know, using the system to obstruct your opponents, as we see now, as we see the Democrats blatantly and openly trying to deny any conservative the right to have a candidate to vote for. We see them utilizing the legal system to their advantage. Well, we can read Roman history and see that happen too. We can read Roman history and see that organized crime, even though you were under essentially a dictatorship, we can see that organized crime ran the streets of Rome. And it certainly had an influence in the Roman culture. The overbearing, you will do it my way or die. You will pay me tribute or die. Most of that was done not necessarily with the approval of the setting government as much as it was the gangs organized and bought into the government. And we see that's what's happened in the American society now. Organized crime has, not just under this administration, but boy, this administration they don't even try to really deny it. They're certainly not ashamed to take their money. But it's been going on for years. And Frank, listen to this. Rome didn't implode in a day. We have been on this course of implosion for many, many, many years now. And that includes both the conservative and the leftist or the socialist or progressive side, whatever those fruitcakes call themselves. Listen, this didn't happen overnight. We did not get to this stage in the United States of America 3 years ago. This stage has been set many times over by multiple Senates, by multiple houses, by multiple presidents. It's just now come to the pinnacle. And this is why I believe that we are at the point of implosion. This is why I believe that we are at the point of no return. And this is why I disagree with a lot of my Christian brethren that there will still be a revival in America, and America will come back and have a degree of prosperity before Jesus Christ returned to this earth. I believe we have reached that pinnacle and we are over in that dispensation of time that judgment is impending on us, both individually as we have a free will to make decisions, but I believe that it is imposing prominently imposed upon us right now as a nation. So we've reached this pinnacle. Your governmental seats are primarily purchased through either criminal organizations and our criminal organizations backing the candidates and giving them the money to get into office, which then puts them obligated to the criminal networks. And it's an international criminal network. Don't just think of your local street gang. Or don't just think of an international organization like the Mexican cartel that we know is buying politicians. We have known that for years. We know that they are pouring money through filtered means, so it can't easily be discovered to politicians who agree with an open border, who agree with sanctuary cities, who agree with bringing in an additional populace and obligating them to the controlling party so that they will vote for him. Well, that's exactly what Romulus did when he founded Rome. Then the senators, they bought their seats, or either they were appointed by the corrupt government that was in there. We see that happening now. If a senator resigns, what happens? Either way, they reseat somebody in their own party affiliation before it goes back to a general vote. And I got to tell you, the wrong person in a congressional or a Senate seat, even for a short period of time, can cause grave, grave damage to your rights as a United States citizen and to your ability to prosper in this nation. So here we are. We are coming to that preface of implosion. We have no control. We see it. We see it, folks. No matter how much the Republicans tell us how much they stand and how big of a patriot they are for the United States of America, we see them sell us out time and time again, just as we see the sellout this weekend. Once again, I did have some hopes for Speaker Johnson, although he wouldn't have been my choice for Speaker of the House. I did have some hope for him when he touted his Christian faith and what a good man he was and how much he loved America and so on and so on. Well, folks, you can't prove to me. I don't know what his standing is with Jesus Christ. That's between him and his God. But you can't prove by me that he's a patriot. You can't prove it to me that he really cares about this country. We see $61 billion sent to Ukraine overnight, or will be by next week, to a dictatorship, by the way, that was already in bed previously with the corrupt administration that we have seated. That's not speculation. That is a known fact, people. And you're still going to vote for this moron. Listen, we're sold out. We're sold out. It at one point really just worked on me to think during this last Republican shakeup on the Speaker of the House that the Republicans were so divided that they might let this Jeffries guy end up the Democrat being the Speaker of the House when the Republicans had actually more majority, which is now down to, I think, one vote. That shows you that we have no dedication among the Republicans. They're retiring and quitting at this pivotal time in our history, in our government. And these Republicans, oh, it's time for me to retire, it's time for me to go. That just shows to me that there's nothing to them. They're just a traitor to this country. That now is when we need them. We need them to stay and stand firm. And they're running away like little scared puppy dogs with their tail between their legs. So we don't have a conservative party anymore. We just don't have it. We don't have a common sense party anymore. So where are we at? Somewhere along the line, we have to say enough is enough. Now listen, so we can defeat the criminal activity that will go on election day, or I don't care if you're Republican, independent, or Democrat, do you have common sense? Do you have some common morals that you can agree on? Conservative, centrist, and I don't know, you leftists, y'all don't have too much common sense, but maybe there's some of you out there that do, that recognize when I go to the gas pump, I almost have to take a loan out to buy my gas. If you're working and not living off mom and daddy in their basement. If you're working and you have your own budget to have to deal with every week, can you have just enough common sense to say something is wrong? Could you find that common ground with your moderate friend or your conservative friend and say, no, we can't have this. We can't vote this. we can't vote this. We can't do it. We've got to have some relief. And folks, I don't know whether Trump would have been my choice based on what he had running against him in the Republican Party this time. Now, last time when he, you know, got to be the nominee, okay, I didn't really support him that much to that point. I wasn't dead set against him, but didn't really support him that much. I would have preferred to had someone else. This time, from what we had to choose from, yeah, I think he was the guy all the way around. And the reason is he proved himself 4 years. I can remember going to the gas pump at nearing the end of Trump's presidency and paying $1.26 a gallon for gas in Virginia. And I can remember having some it took about 2 years before he was in, but my prosperity really changed after about 2 years of his administration, and it really started to come around. And I had two really good years. And it's good that I had two really good years, because I've certainly had bad years ever since. So what are you going to do? The way we peacefully revolt now is to vote in mass numbers, to argue our points when we are being dismissed by society or the institutions. No, we stand up and we make our voices known, and we stand in solidarity. We have differences, we're different skin colors, we're different backgrounds, but we stand in solidarity. If you want a reprieve for America, at least for a short period of time, you got to get together and you got to stop putting up with this nonsense. We're going to implode. Eventually, and I've always believed this ever since I first started ministering over 30 years ago in the pulpit. I ministered 26 years before I retired, but listen, eventually America will be a third world country based on Bible prophecy and Bible history of what was prophesied that will come. America wasn't necessarily prophesied of, but America in the end, when the Antichrist takes over his authority for most of the world, America will not have any power whatsoever left to stand against tyranny. We barely have some now. And we may really be to that point. We might still get a reprieve. We might still get a reprieve, at least for a while. And why do we want a reprieve? That gives us a little longer to be prepared for when things really, really, really do get nasty. Or gives us time to wait on the Lord's decision to get us to get us together and be home with Him. If you need Bible studies on this, I can produce you Bible studies. You can email me at patriottrainer@protonmail.com. This wasn't really a religious broadcast, but I can provide you Bible studies. If you want prayer, I don't typically pray too much on these podcasts, but if you do want prayer, once again, you can email me at the address. If you're watching a video on this podcast, you can see the address, patriottrainer@protonmail.com on the screen, patriottrainer@protonmail.com. You send your prayer request in, I'll pray for you. I'm not going to put up with any nonsense, but I'll pray for you. I'll see you next time.